I was reading a book, and there was like maybe three or four paragraphs about the word remembrance or remember. And it just really impacted my heart what that means in the Oriental custom. Because in the Orient, where the Bible was written and where the culture that Jesus Christ lived in was, their words have a completely different meaning than the English words. Our words sometimes have a very low impact. I say to Jay, you remember so-and-so? And he says, yeah, he was a funny guy. That to us is remember. I remember, remembrance of, those kind of things. Well, in the culture of the Near East, when they ask someone to remember them, it's a big deal. They go through this whole thing. It's like, or when they greet each other, passing by. Like, I pass somebody in the street, hi, how are you? Well, with them, it was like they had to stop, and they had this big conversation, and I bless your family. I praise God for your children. And how are your animals? I bless your animals in the name of God. And they went through this whole big thing with words. And remember, it's the same thing. If I ask Jay, I'm leaving to go somewhere, I'm moving to another state, and I ask Jay, don't forget me, remember me. To them, it was like, I'm telling Jay, recall me fondly in your mind. Always remember my great love for you. Always think about me in the greatest of terms. Bless God for me. You know, ask in prayer about me. You know, they went on and on. They were emotional and very lively, active with their vocabulary and the meaning behind it. So I thought, well, that impacted me so much, I thought, well, I'm going to look that up. I'm going to look at that word remember, remembrance, remembering, I remember, please remember, and see what the word says about it. And I got so blessed doing that yesterday. I mean, like, did you ever study by yourself and you're just kind of really tickled pink about what you're reading and how beautiful the word is and something really hits your heart? I was so blessed doing that. So we're going to look at the Hebrew word is zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. And it means imprint. Isn't that interesting? The Hebrew word is zakar, means imprint. And then to bring to or call to remembrance because something is so imprinted on your mind. That gives you a hint about what the word remembrance is. So, let's go to Genesis, the very first usage. See what God says about himself. And you know, when God uses words, especially because of that culture and where the word was written and when it was written, when God uses words, God has a purpose for everything he says, where he says it, why he says it, how he says it, when he says it, and you know, that he says it is important. So Genesis 8:1, Noah was on the boat. We can start in 7:24. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And verse 8, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged, or assuaged, they ended. God remembered Noah. God had that whole thing imprinted on his mind. He remembered what he had promised Noah. He remembered. It was a big deal. When God says, I remember, God's saying, like, I got this. I got it. It's my promise. I said it. It's in my mind. It's imprinted on me. Now go to 9, verse 11. And this is God talking, and he says, "And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant." God's telling Noah, "I will remember." In other words, I promise. It is imprinted on God's mind. He will always remember that covenant. It's a big deal to God. It's his promise. And his promises are always imprinted on his mind. God never forgets. He always remembers what he promised his people. Isn't that great? Because sometimes we go, "God, what's going on?" We forget. God remembers. He always remembers his promise. It's a big deal to him. It should be a big deal to us. "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." And it was perpetual to all generations. You still see a rainbow? God remembers. He sees that rainbow. He remembers. Those are like to emphasize God's remembrance of his promises. He never forgets his promises to you and to me. You see a rainbow how many years ago? 6,000 years ago? That promise is still true. God is... He's God. What can you say? Exodus 2. I just wonder... The word's full of it, where God says, "I remember, I want you to remember." Exodus 2, verse 23. "And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died." You know, this is referring to the children of Israel in bondage. "And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Why did God do that for Israel? They were a bunch of stiff-necked Jews for the most part. Because he remembered his covenant to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He never forgot that. It was imprinted on God's mind. His promise. Amazing. Chapter 6. This is all leading up to some stuff. I always do that. I'm using this Bible because it has big print. It's great for old ladies that can't see so well anymore. Verse 2, "And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." Isn't that great for him to tell that to Moses? Can you imagine being Moses and God Almighty speaking to you and telling you that? "I have never forgotten my covenant. I remember. Therefore, this is what I'm going to do." That is so powerful. Chapter 13. God had his promises imprinted on his mind. He never forgets. We forget. We forget to remember his word, don't we? A lot of times in situations. God never forgets his promises. He's waiting for you to remember that he remembers his promises. Chapter 13, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day. Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by the strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no unleavened. There shall be no leavened bread eaten. It goes on, but God tells them, remember. Remember, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. The hand of the Lord brought you out of bondage. Well, how about us? Whose hand brought us out of bondage? Should we remember that? Mm-hmm. I would think so. Because God has never forgotten it, and he never will. Go to Numbers 15. This is just a few of them I picked out because I thought they were outstanding, as is all the word. Numbers 15, verse 38. Well, verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and I'm telling you, it's full of it. The Lord spake unto Moses. Is that greater one? Can you imagine? He's telling Moses all of these great things. His innermost thoughts and what he's about to do. And he remembers his covenant and how he's going to fulfill that and bring it to pass. Moses, what a great guy. And yet he told God, I can't go speak. I have a little speech impediment. Can you imagine? And God said, oh, but, I'm here. This Moses was, what a great guy. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember, imprint it in your brain, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Israel always had to have little sense knowledge things to remind them of God. That's why God had the candlesticks and the sacrifices. They had to see something because they didn't have spirit. So he had to make on their garments these little fringe things that reminded them when they saw it, they were to remember God's commandments and to do them. I think that's great. God gave them these little instructions to help them remember. Well, as we go through this, we'll see how he helps us to remember.
That's where we get the term fringe benefits.
Yeah, the term fringe benefits. That's right. That's where they got that, Jay, I'm sure. General Electric and GM and all of those. That's, they looked it up in the Bible. Yes. I'm sure. Okay, Deuteronomy 8. That was a good one, Jay. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Remember that covenant he made and he remembered? Now he's telling them what to do about it and what he's going to do. And thou shalt remember engrave this in your brain. Keep this in your mind. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not. Look at this. He's telling them all the things that he did, and he wants them to remember, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Huh, somebody else quoted that, didn't they? Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Isn't that amazing? 40 years. My feet swell after I walk a couple of blocks. Where's my believing? Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Listen to this. The promises. Because he remembered his covenant. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, look at verse 18, how he ends that, telling them, don't forget who did this. Don't forget who did this. We are not to forget God's promises. We are not to forget ever, because he remembers always. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. That's amazing how God constantly tells him, remember, have this in your mind. Think about this. Always remember where you got what you got. Remember why you have what you have. Remember who does for you, who takes care of you, who gives you his grace to be sufficient for you. Never forget those things. And how often we get in a situation and the first thing we do is forget who our sufficiency is. We get overwhelmed with the circumstances. But God never forgets his promises. He's waiting for us to remember and have it imprinted upon our brain cells. Go to 1 Chronicles. Just some of these. Isn't this amazing how God does this and tells them what he remembers and what they're supposed to not forget.
What chapter?
1 Chronicles 16. Wait a minute, Jay, I got it up there. Don't go so fast.
I just want to see if you remember.
1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth, which are his, that's his word. The judgments of his mouth are his word. Psalm 25. Remember all God's marvelous works. You know, in the heat of the battle, Jesus Christ, always, always with him, it is written. It is written. He had the Word of God ingrained in his mind to where it was in his heart. Jesus Christ was born, you know, of flesh. He was a man. He had to work his mind. He constantly had to work his mind. It wasn't that he was born and Mary put him in this little crib thing and the Word was living in him. That isn't, I mean, you know, he wasn't born with the Word living in him. He had perfect blood. He had to. But he was a man of flesh and blood. He had to remember. Look at what we just read in the Old Testament. Man shall not live by bread alone. And when the devil himself, which none of us will ever see, thank God, when the devil himself confronted him, Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone. Talk about ingraining the Word in his mind and remembering the promises of God and what God said and God's judgments. He was an amazing man, wasn't he? Our Savior? I mean, think about him. Psalm 25. Here I go again. I'm halfway there. I'm going from 18 to 35. Okay, Psalm 25. I'm here. Verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. David, sometimes Abraham, David, these men that walked with God so greatly, they would remind God. God, remember? Remember what you said? Remember what you promised me? Remember not the sins of my youth. Isn't that a great statement for David the king to make? Remember not, God. I'm asking you, forgive me and don't think about that anymore. Don't let that be engraved in your mind, God. That should be our prayer. Forget that, God, because I got plenty of sin. So forget that and remember your loving kindness and tender mercies towards me. I think that's great of David. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. That's a good psalm to repeat to yourself. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Isn't that beautiful? That just blesses my heart that David, the first thing he did in the morning and the last thing he did at night was to remember his God and to praise him. That's, we need to remember to be thankful. We need to remember what God has done for us. He remembers. We're the only ones that forget. God always remembers. Beth, you are righteous. You are holy and without blame in my sight. God always remembers that. It's imprinted on his mind and his heart. Isn't that beautiful that God always remembers who you are? We're the only ones that seem to forget. We need to remember. We need to imprint that on our minds, who we are in Christ. In Psalm 103, David always remembered to praise God. He would say, and then I remembered, he'd be in the heat of the battle. You know, 15,000 soldiers coming after him. Saul's going to behead him and all that stuff. And David would let himself get a little bit discombobulated, and he'd say, and then I remembered. Right. And then I remembered. Because it was in his mind. That's where it has to be, to remember. You have to have it in your mind to remember it, right? Mm-hmm. Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that respect him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. We need to have the word so imprinted upon our minds that when we're walking in this world, we remember those commandments of God, God's will. His commandments then, his will for us now. If God says to love, we love because we remember. We remember what the word says. If God says to give, we give. It doesn't matter what circumstances are. Jesus Christ was the proof of that. Didn't matter ever what circumstances were to him. He had the word imprinted. He remembered. He always remembered. And he also knew that God remembered what he was doing and who he was and what he was all about. And he also remembered that God would send a legion of angels, right? He knew what the word said. It was imprinted. We need to remember in that way. Because in the Eastern culture, you can see remembrance is a big deal. Remembering, imprinting. So now let's go to the New Testament. Go to Luke 24. Well, this isn't the New Testament, but we'll say that. Okay, Luke 24, verse 6. I love this one. I thought this was absolutely wonderful. It's at the, you know, Jesus Christ has been resurrected. We'll pick it up in verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? These are the angels. Isn't that cool? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? The angels are telling those guys at the tomb, remember? Remember what he told you? And you know how their minds were, where their minds were. The Lord Jesus Christ had just been crucified. The darkest time on earth. They had just lost their master, the Messiah. They were absolutely devastated. And the angel said, remember what he said? And then they remembered. Isn't that great? That the angel said that. Remember? He told you guys. Verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And verse 8, and they remembered his words. Isn't that wonderful? When they remembered what Jesus Christ said, things were fine. We got to remember what Jesus Christ said. 2 Timothy. That just blessed my heart. Those guys so upset. It's like us when we lose a loved one. And it's so devastating. And it's so sorrowful. And then you remember the gathering together. I'm telling you, people. We got it made. Okay, we're in my 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned believing that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul's talking to Timothy. He remembered him day and night. Isn't that great? And he remembered the great believing that he had. When we remember each other in prayer, we're supposed to remember each other in light of who we are. When I, you know, to remember each other, to call to remembrance, when I remember Jean Marie, I think of a sweet, gracious woman with a kind heart. That's how I remember Jean Marie. And I remember every believer that I know in that light, that I remember things about them, and I remember them to God, and I speak in tongues, and I pray, and I think of you that way. I don't remember, you know, we remember each other in light of what the Word says about one another, and the great things about each and every one of us. That's what we remember. I was sharing with somebody, my daughter brought something up. And I said, you know what, April? I choose to think this way. I choose to remember. Oh, it was about her father, my ex-husband. Because we got a divorce. Well, not in the Word then, but she said, how could you think such good things about him? That's what it was. And I said, I choose to remember the good things. I choose not to be bitter or hard-hearted. I choose that, April. That's what I choose to remember. She said, golly, Mom, that's really something. And I said, well, that's what we do. We choose to remember. I choose to remember the good things about believers and about people. I choose to. Now, there's some natural men, some real rank unbelievers. I'm not there yet. But with believers, I choose to remember the good things. Not something that happened 40 years ago, 30 years ago, and I'm still bitter about it. I choose not to remember things like that. I choose to remember the good things or what the Word says. And I'm blessed by that. And that took me a while to get there. I didn't take the class and start thinking that way. I didn't. But I'll tell you something, it makes a difference in your life when you choose to remember what the Word says, especially about people. Now, go to Ephesians. I love this one too. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In other words, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where God put you, sent you, called you. Don't forget that. We don't dwell on, oh, the old man and what happened. But we remember what God called us to and the glory of God. Now, there's one more word, a Greek word, which is different. And it's hupomen. And it is to remind gradually. John 14. This is a great one. And it is so true. And I'm sure everybody in here has experienced it. John 14, 14, 26. This is Jesus Christ speaking. I'll read verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. God will recall the word to your mind when you need it. Have you ever been witnessing to somebody and you walk away and go, I don't even know why I said that. Oh, I wonder. God can help you to remember his word by way of that spirit within you. He will call things to your remembrance. But you got to have it in there. It's got to be imprinted on the mind. But that word to remind gradually. When you need it, and the word is in your heart and mind, it'll come to memory. You'll know exactly what to say and when to say it. And all of a sudden you'll go, gee, I don't know why I did that. And then you look back and go, oh. And see the prophet. That has happened so many times. And God will help us to remember. When we have the word imprinted in there, God will help us to remember in those situations where we're going through something that is not really pleasant or that's downright hellish. God can help you to remember his word. Every once in a while, does somebody's name pop into your head that you maybe haven't seen in 20 years? Well, what do you think you're supposed to do?
Right.
Speak in tongues for them. Who do you think is doing that? Right, it's not me. Dumb me. God can, Jesus Christ just said it, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh, the apostles and those guys, man, oh man, oh man, the master telling them that. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. Isn't that mind-blowing that God, you know, will help us to remember his promises, his word? He always remembers what he said. He always remembers what he promises you. He never, ever forgets you or forgets who you are or forgets what he's done for you. It's us that need to really remember fondly, to think about it, to remember what the word says. 1 Corinthians 4, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. This is so bad. Oh, well. 1 Corinthians 4, 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. This is Paul talking. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Timothy was going to help them remember what Paul had taught. Isn't that great? They didn't have the written word. They had the epistles, which got passed around, but the individuals did not have the written word. We are most privileged and blessed because we can pick this book up any time. The problem we have is remembering what it says. And we'll close in 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 24. Of course we would close it. And when he, Jesus Christ, had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And you know, everybody's heard that every time we eat, partake of food, we should remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what that meant. If you want to know what that sacrifice meant, read Isaiah 53. Remember that. And the resurrection. And verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus Christ, his last words to them were, "Remember me." Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Remember what he's done for you. Remember his sacrifice. Remember what he gave for you. Remember what God has done. All of these things that God asks us to remember, God never forgets. We forget that he remembers who we are and why he has called us. He, God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, God has called you. He remembers you. He remembers what he promised to you. He remembers where you are. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what it will take to deliver you. He remembers that. It is up to us to remember to thank him for doing it. And to always be thankful and to praise him the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night. In my night watches, in my bed, I will meditate on you. What a great way to go to bed at night, knowing that God will remember everything that he promised you. It's just up to us to imprint it on our minds and remember that. Okay? So, Jim Marie, pray.
Father God, I thank you so much that you have given us your written word, that we can get to know you, that we can know your heart towards us. We can put it on our minds and make it real and alive in our lives right now. I thank you, Father, for this great body of Christ that you've called us to, and our hearts and minds towards them would be what is according to your word. And I thank you, Father, so much for that return of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can remember and know that you have that promise before us. And as you have fulfilled all your other promises, you shall fulfill that also. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.